This is Cliff Saran on ComputerWeekly.com podcasts, where you can listen to and download interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. Today, I am speaking to Paul Michaels, a senior consultant at Metri Measurement Consulting, which offers IT benchmarking services to help businesses and outsourcers assess the value of a contract. In this interview, I'll be speaking to Paul about why outsourcing contracts fail and the warning signs IT directors should be looking for. Businesses often outsource to save money. People often try to reduce cost by outsourcing elements of their IT, of their business operations. But Paul, in your experience, cost is not always the best parameter to look at.
That's true, Cliff. Typically, we see about 70% of organisations outsource to save money. This is done to remove headcount and revenues off the balance sheet in a short-term reaction over the first 2 years. But what tends to happen is the contract will be financially engineered that over the lifetime of the contract, over 5 or 7 years, obviously the service provider will make his margins. So while some short-term gains can be realized over the length of the total contract, it will not gain significant savings. Often, this is seen as the reason for failure. So what we see in our experience is about 50% of contracts that are signed on this basis fail or have to be renegotiated at a later stage.
Well, 50%, that's a big figure. How can people reduce that?
Our view is to not just focus on one dynamic like cost. There needs to be real business value and what's the rationale behind the outsourcing. So one has to look at the benefits. Are you bringing in expertise from outside that you don't currently have? Are you looking for innovation, which you cannot currently do? Are you looking to add additional resources to your capability? There's a variety of reasons that you can add to the focus of outsourcing. Cost should not be the primary driver for outsourcing.
Along with cost, another problem that you've mentioned is poor governance. I can't believe that companies don't manage their outsourcing contracts properly. Can you tell me about that?
I think this is one of the key elements to failures within the outsourcing contract. Often a problem is given to someone else to sort out, and that can lead to real problems. If there aren't enough retained skills within the client organisation to manage the contractor effectively, then they're going to run into problems about how the relationship is worked, how it's measured, how it's organised, and ultimately what the goals and service parameters are for that contract.
Is there an element of getting management involved, the higher levels of management, CEO level, board level, understanding of the complexities of an outsourcing contract? Going back to your first point, an outsourcing contract is not simply one of cost. The board wants to reduce operating costs, but they need to understand there is an element of investment that they have to put in terms of people, processes and technology or whatever, in order to make sure that that contract is successful.
Absolutely. It very much is an executive decision. We were recently working with a major FTSE 100 manufacturer that had been outsourced for many years, but felt they weren't getting the innovation and forward-looking support from their outsourcer. But unfortunately, in this situation, the manufacturer owned all the assets, but were not investing in future technology. They expected it all to come from the service provider. So very little change was happening. It was very much like trying to compete in Formula One today with a Ford Capri. The assets were very old and sweated.
That's a very good point. I guess one of the problems is having the right people, the right staff with the right skills.
Often people outsource their IT organisation and keep a very small team so that the data centre manager becomes the person who's managing the outsourcing contract. That's a very different skill set to manage a data centre than it is to manage a third party outsourcing contract, particularly if it's a multi-million dollar piece. Ultimately, where we see this succeed is where people bring in external skills to supplement the retained team that they have.
Another problem is that the outsourcer obviously wants to make money out of a contract. The customer, as we've said initially, may want to save money, but hopefully has some other goals. Now, one of the problems is that the outsourcer and the end user company may not have the same idea of what they want out of a contract. How much of a problem is that?
This is a major problem. I think it is a relationship that they're entering into. But it has to be seen at the outset that both organisations perhaps have separate goals, and this has to be managed within the contract and ultimately within the relationship. A good example of that, recently we were working with a telecoms organisation, a big one in Europe, and they perceived that their outsourcer was charging them excessive costs for the outsourcing deal, and they weren't getting good value. the outsourcer felt that they were making very poor profitability from this client because they were asked to manage hundreds of service levels and do a lot of additional work that was outside of the contract that they weren't getting paid for. So ultimately, you had both sides very unhappy with the way the contract was struck. We were able to help them by organising the service catalogue of what specifically should be delivered by the service provider to the telecoms organisation, and help them advise them on what the key performance indicators should be to measure the success of the contract. This reduced the workload on the service provider and reduced the overall cost of the contract. The result was the end user client was happier, he had a clearer mechanism for managing his service provider, a clearer idea of the costs, and ultimately a lower overall contract price. And the service provider, although his revenues had gone down, was making larger margins from the work he was doing.
Well, that sounds like a real success.
Yes, by aligning clear business goals from the end client to the provider, it means the opportunity to build a relationship where there's a win-win success story.
When we were talking earlier, you mentioned to me about businesses not really having an idea of where they're coming from, sort of having a standard baseline. I find that really intriguing. I can't believe businesses don't know where they stand.
We've often been involved with outsourcing contracts where it's been anecdotal and perceptions whether things were improving or getting worse. So there was no clear measures taken at the outset, no baseline of understanding of performance. This made it difficult to demonstrate whether value was being received from the contract and whether ultimately the services were improving.
So I guess that means that a year into the contract, the business manager cannot go to the board and say, we've actually improved, because he or she doesn't know exactly where they are, where they were, and how much of an improvement they made, if any. Have you come across situations where it's got worse?
Certainly, yeah, the perceptions are it's getting worse. But what we advise our clients to do is to baseline, take key performance indicators and measurements of the service before you outsource, and then you have a line in the sand in which to compare to, so you can quantitatively demonstrate whether there have been improvements made or not, and you can therefore steer and manage the contract and the relationship a certain way, so that after a year or 2 years you can measure these performance indicators again and demonstrate specific improvements. Ultimately, that's what people are looking for: improvements in productivity or improved services and value to their customers. So there has to be a way of measuring that, both quantitatively and qualitatively.
Do you still come across situations where the business doesn't really understand the type of contract that it has with the outsourcer? Could that be a reason that some outsourcing contracts actually don't live up to people's expectations?
Most contracts can be drafted and put in place very quickly, but they don't enable much flexibility. So what we often see with our clients is the situation where they're tied to a contract that they cannot change or get out of, and they feel very much constrained by limitations that they've placed upon their service provider. Ultimately, there needs to be very clear definitions of the service descriptions of what you want, the service levels you wish the provider to obtain to, and what are the credit and debit systems. If the provider does well, how can he be credited with that? What kind of rewards could he receive? But also, you know, if there are problems, what kind of carrot and stick is there to manage the provider? I think historically there's been very much a case of let's try and beat up the provider, have various penal systems against him where he is continuously having to reduce his costs, having to provide better service with less. And therefore, ultimately, a lot of the times we see the situation where value is driven out of the contract. The service provider, I've seen a few cases, particularly in the retail and the publishing sector, where the providers have made the statement that ultimately they don't wish to rebid for the piece of work because there isn't any margins in it for them.
Do you think the situation will change as and when there are more Indian outsourcers in the UK market?
I think the UK market is the most mature. We're seeing what we term the third or fourth generation of contracts being struck. So people have been doing this for multiple years and are in their third or fourth cycle. The clients have got more sophisticated and have matured, so they understand how to construct the contracts more satisfactorily. Certainly see the UK as more mature than Europe and even the US. Back to your point about the Indian outsourcers, I think they play a valuable point. I think it's made the market more competitive, and I think they have very strong processes that they've brought to the fore. But I still see that ultimately it's about the relationship and management of the contractors. Our experience is that the Indian suppliers struggle with the same problems as the global service providers. They have the same skill set issues about managing the front-end relationships with their clients, how to derive and demonstrate the business value that their services are delivering. We see more problems in the application development area.
And why is that?
Well, ultimately, applications development is the real business value end of outsourcing. A lot of the infrastructure is effectively a commodity and can be delivered by many players to a suitable standard. With application development, you have to really understand the business in which you operate, in which your client operates. You have to understand their needs and their requirements of what you're building for them. And if you don't get that piece right in the requirements definition, then it's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, Paul, so we've looked at the main areas. Out of the things we've covered, what would you say that a CIO, an IT director, should really be focusing on? What should people be looking out for and alarm bells should be ringing if they see these things on their dashboards?
The warning signs would be around dissatisfaction from the customers, the business customers. Are they dissatisfied with the service they're getting? Why are they dissatisfied? Is the service perceived to have got worse than before it was outsourced? They should also include the relationship. I think there should be a lot of processes in place that measure the strength and almost the virility of the relationship. I think a lot of warning signs can be about human signs of relationships. Things are breaking down. People don't seem to communicate effectively or understand each other. So there certainly needs to be a clear understanding of the goals. What are the business goals? And are both the CIO and his internal team and the service provider working along the same lines to achieve the same elements? There needs to be clear measures around the service itself. And they would be clear warning signs. So how is the service performing? Are productivity gains and improvements and quality of what's being delivered effectively measured?
One of the things that you mentioned earlier is that you can't really beat the outsourcer with a stick for missing those. I mean, an antagonistic relationship isn't constructive. So once you have these measurements, how can you then work with the outsourcer so that you're both back on course?
I think course is a good point. This should be seen very much like a cockpit of an airplane. The measures are in there as guidance and a framework to which to work from, that you've got a warning light when the oil temperature gauge has gone to a certain level, so that you need to react in a certain way. So it shouldn't be seen as a stick that you could then go and beat your provider up and get service credits or reductions in cost. It should be seen as a warning sign to both parties that some action needs to be taken to bring the plane or the organisation back on an even keel.
In your experience, how often should the company be looking at these dashboards? Is it something that they do weekly, daily, monthly, yearly?
All of the above, Cliff. I think there should be certain dashboards and temperature gauges that you have on a regular basis, hourly, daily is acceptable. There are certain other measures that are probably weekly or monthly. And I think on an annual basis, that there should be some element of benchmarking that takes place.
In summary, Paul, what would you say are the key things that IT directors, CIOs, business managers need to look for? What are the key points that they can take away from this? What are the alarm bells? What areas should they be looking at? What should they be watching out for?
In summary, Cliff, there's five areas. Outsourcing for cost alone will not provide the competitive advantage that organisations are looking for. Effectively, all organisations will be doing some aspect of cost reduction, whether that's outsourcing or internal savings. In terms of governance, I think it's important that there are mechanisms in place to ensure that there's the correct behaviour from all parties. I think there needs to be the right steering mechanisms that enable the relationship to flourish and the contract to be well managed. My third element would be around the relationships and the goals. There needs to be a long-term view here, that the retained team is empowered to manage and influence the relationship effectively. This is the beginning of a relationship, not the end of a process when you outsource. Also, looking at measurement, it's an important point that the supplier is brought into any process that's put in place, so that a tripartite arrangement is put in place if, for example, you benchmark. It's with the client, with the supplier, and with the third party. And finally, I'd add that the contract needs the ability that the benefits of outsourcing are realised through the life cycle of the contract, and also that there are benefits for both parties to be gained and incentives for that to happen.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for listening. If you are interested in finding out more about outsourcing, you may want to look at www.computerweekly.com/outsourcing. Thank you.